What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. It is episode 17. Can't believe we've already gotten this far. My name is Nick.
My name is Michael.
And we're going to be talking about several things that kind of changed the trajectory of the NFL season this week. So let's get started. All right, so the first game, we got to talk about this. The matchup that we were waiting for a couple weeks now, the rematch between the Lions and the Packers at Ford Field. Obviously, last year, Packers won in Ford Field. And then at the beginning of the season, we predicted the Lions were going to go 1-1 in the regular season against the Packers. And that was not the case. Lions sweep the series in the regular season. We'll probably see you guys in playoffs. But I got to ask you, as a Packers fan, what did you think about the game?
Yeah. I know that you and I talked, on the phone, about this, but first and foremost, as a realistic Green Bay Packers fan, I will say that the refs did not lose this game for us. I mean, hands down, the defense lost us the game again. I mean, the first time around, funny enough, it was the running game. Could we stop Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery? We couldn't stop the first downs, you know, 7-yard gains, 8-yard gains, 10-yard gains. This time around, it's the passing game. And I, you know, the thing that with the Packers, the problem right now that this game exposed was no Jair Alexander, and there's nobody to back him up. There's no cornerback two, cornerback three that we can really solidify and rely on. Eric Stokes, he's been injured since first year he's been here. He hasn't been good since, to be honest. We have Keyshawn Nixon, who he's okay. I mean, he's not a bad corner, but he's not the best. So, you know, this game really exposed that with Jared Goff, you know, throwing it to Amon-Ra for 10, 12 yards, Tim Patrick. I mean, so hands down, the refs did not lose a game for us. The defense did, unfortunately. So, but, you know, there were some good takeaways as well that, you know, the Packers were able to stop the run game for once. I mean, they did get pressure to Jared Goff, but, you know, I don't know what the plan was with Jeff Hafley and playing soft cover zone defense, but I mean, I guess it is what it is at the end of the day, and they can only go forward and try and figure something out for the future.
Yeah. And I don't know if you were the same as me, but definitely like the second half, I was on the edge of my seat basically the entire time. The first half was all Detroit. Let's face it. It was all Detroit. Yeah. Jordan Love finished the first half 3 for 7 with 31 yards, which is unlike Jordan Love. And I was kind of gassing him up before the game too on our last week's episode. And I remember saying it coming out of halftime. I was like, it's going to be a bomb to Christian Watson. And what happens? Bomb to Christian Watson. And I was like, here we go again, right? And one key takeaway I like is how the Lions defense was able to kind of stop the passing game. Obviously, Jaden Reed came out with 0 catches and 0 yards. And he was talking, wait until I come to Detroit. And we're Jaden Reed, us Lions fans are still waiting for you to show up in Detroit. Did they leave you on the plane in Green Bay? Can I ask you that? Did they leave you on the plane?
That's not even a Jaden Reed problem. That's a Matt LaFleur schematic problem, because to have your best, I'd say one of the best players, like last time that Jaden Reed played Detroit, he did what Christian Watson did, you know, with, I think it was like 5 receptions, if not more, with 100+ yards guaranteed. You know, for him to not even be involved is really uncharacteristic. And I'm kind of questioning what's going on with Matt LaFleur. Why is he not getting Jaden Reed involved? Especially knowing in halftime, you know, he's got 0 receptions for 0 yards. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a Jaden Reed problem. It's just the play designs weren't meant for him. There's no handoffs. There's no screens, you know. So it's a Matt LaFleur schematic problem.
Yeah, and I'll also point this out too. Going into the game, we knew the injuries on defense for Detroit. Obviously, 18 total players on injury reserve, 13 of them being defense. Now going forward, we are hearing good news about some of these players. Potential Jalen Reeves-Maben, Ifeatu Melifonwu, Ennis Rakestraw potentially coming back this week. Alex Anzalone coming back by the end of the season. Same with Malcolm Rodriguez, Khalif Raymond, and Aiden Hutchinson. They're holding out hope for him coming back if the Lions make it to the NFC Championship game. But to stop the pass against the Packers offense that kind of was trying to rely on the pass the first half, until they really got into like the red zone situations where they were heavily favoring the run, was huge. And especially people like Quan Alexander coming in, Trevor Nowoski, Pat O'Connor. I like to see that a lot. And then the fourth down conversions for the Lions was really the game changer for me. They went 4 for 5 on fourth downs. Obviously the last one to really seal the game. And then Jake Bates kicking the, I believe it was 35-yard field goal to win it. And like I said, we will probably see you guys in the playoffs. Based on what it's looking like, I think you guys will end up versing like Washington first round. So,
yeah. And as I told you over the phone, that this game, it only just knocked us out of winning the NFC North. So it's not the end of the world for the Green Bay Packers. Now, I know that there's like the stat out there of like the Packers are 0-4 against winning teams this year. Yeah, but they're also a couple plays away from winning the game. I mean, or taking, you know, the game goes a different trajectory. I'm not going to sit here and go into hypotheticals, but it's like this Packers team is still very young. I mean, there's so much potential and ceiling for this team that, you know, to really knock down like, oh yeah, they're 0-4 against top teams, but they're still in the playoffs. There are so many teams out there who are veteran teams, who were good teams. Now they've fallen off.
New York Jets.
The Bengals, the Jets. I mean, you name them. So it's like the Green Bay, it's very hard. You know, people like to attack Packer fans for the simple reason that the Packers may not have the Super Bowls to necessarily back them up. But it's so hard time and time again to be in the playoffs every single year. Yeah, sure, they continue to lose. But who can sit here and say that they go to the playoffs every single year? I mean, it's pretty tough to do that. And especially going from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback. I mean, I don't know. I think it's an interesting argument. But I mean, nonetheless, though, it is what it is. The Lions game is a great game. Great Thursday night game.
I'll point something out, too. The matchup in the coming years is going to be really good. Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Xavier McKinney. That is going to be a really good matchup for the next several years. Obviously the talk between them going into this game, I look forward to seeing that matchup a lot more. Obviously we saw the one play that everyone was like, how is this not hands to the face? It could have been easily, but
could have been. Knocked his helmet off too.
I was telling Mike, I was like, I think both ways the refs were just letting the teams play more instead of just calling every little thing because
I said that they were not letting them play. They were just blatantly not calling certain things. I said that the refs did not lose the game for the Packers, but there were so many blatant calls and non-calls that, you know, happened throughout the game where it's like, well, if this happened, if they called it, it would have changed the game completely. I mean, you know, as I said, the fourth and goal, as you mentioned, which sealed the game pretty much to Tim Patrick. Keyshawn Nixon's blitzing up the middle and he gets held. That's evident. It's in replay. But I'm not going to sit here and complain about it because at the end of the day, the offense went out, battled back. and Jared Goff drove down at the final minutes of the game and they won with a field goal. So I'm not going to say and argue the refs, you know, lost us the game, but I'm not going to say that they were letting them play on both sides either. There were some blatant, it was questionable officiating for sure, but I'm not going to let that, you know, say that's what lost us the game again, because I'm realistic. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely say questionable reffing. I think on both sides. I think there were questionable calls on both sides. I think there were questionable non-calls on both sides as well. But off of that game, obviously great game, possible NFC championship matchup we might see. But let's go into the next game with the Browns versus the Steelers. Now, I think obviously going into it, we were like, Steelers are going to win this. Browns have been, once they got Jameis Winston, they were looking good the first two games, I'd say, but then they just fell off very quickly. Now, do we see, because obviously the Browns are tanking at this point, right? It's evident.
Yeah.
We see going into next year that they draft another quarterback, or do we see them sticking out with Jameis Winston? Because I think Deshaun Watson is out of there based on everything that's going on with him, whether it's injury, court cases, whatever it may be. I think Deshaun Watson's out of there. Do we see them drafting a quarterback, or do we see them kind of sticking it out with Jameis?
Well, actually, I still see Watson there because his contract. I mean, his contract is massive.
That is true.
I suppose they could cut him, but I mean, there's probably things within his contract which cleanse him not to get cut. But at the end of the day, it's like he signed like a 5-year, I can't remember if it was 240, 230. I don't remember on the top of my head. I'll have to look this up. But it's too big of a contract to just dump off.
5-year, 230.
There we go. Okay, so 5-year, 230. So they can't just dump him off and just, you know, write it off like that never happened, because there's obviously cleanses within the contract which allow that not to happen. So Watson, unfortunately, is still there. It's just a matter of who they draft in this upcoming draft. It'll be interesting. As you said, this game, we both knew the Steelers were going to win. It was just a routine win, to be honest. But it was just interesting because now this knocks up the Steelers to 10-3, really puts them in first place in that division.
Yeah.
And I don't know what seed they're actually in now, but I know they're tied with Buffalo now, as well as
– I think they're third seed.
Third seed, which is crazy. So my question to you is, how legitimate do you see the Steelers team? Because at least for me, each year I'm like, how is the Steelers team making the playoffs every single year? Even though I saw this year as like a complete downfall, or maybe a mediocre year.
I think it comes down to the coaching. Like, obviously I sent you the coach of the year nominees. There's Dan Campbell,
Harbaugh,
Tomlin, Washington's coach. And then I think there could also be like a couple other names in there. And Mike Tomlin has yet to have a under 500 season as a Steelers head coach. Did we see them being 10-3 at this point? No. Maybe like I'd say right around where
6-7, 7-6.
Yeah, maybe
mediocre.
Yeah, I'd say right around there. I think it comes down to how they play against like these higher opponents in terms of the AFC. And I think they match up pretty well against some of these teams. I think Chiefs just get lucky, right? I don't think they're a legitimate 12-1 team. And I'm sure you agree with me, especially after this week's game where doink is all I can say about that. But in terms of how legitimate they are as like an overall team. I think going into this year, there were a lot of questions about quarterbacks, right? Who's going to be their starting quarterback? Because they bring in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And we saw Justin Fields start off 3-0, and then he gets benched. Bring in Russell Wilson. And I don't think they really – I think they only lost once or twice with him.
Yeah, I think it was once.
And twice, I don't know. But I think now it poses the question. Obviously, you're going to start Wilson the rest of the year, right? But say, for instance, they fall out of the playoffs early. Right. Say, for instance, do we see Wilson being the starting quarterback going into next year? I think yes, personally, but I think it will be up in the air if they bow out of the playoffs early. Maybe to like Buffalo. They might verse pretty early on, or like even like a Baltimore, but. I do think this team is legitimate in terms of I wouldn't say they're Super Bowl contenders. I think there still are those teams in the AFC like Buffalo, Baltimore, and sadly Kansas City that could make it to the Super Bowl. I think Pittsburgh is like on the cusp of it. I do think their defense still needs a little bit of work to be kind of put over the top, I'd say.
Yeah. I like to go back on that point about Russell Wilson, you know, what the future looks like for him, because he can do a couple things. I mean, he can either realize that his career, he's got a lot of money, you know, maybe it's his time to win again. Maybe he goes the cheaper route with the Steelers and says, you know, I'll go with a team-friendly deal. And maybe we can get some other pieces, you know, receivers like they always wanted. Or he might go somewhere else, as you said, and just max out and get, you know, that big deal again. So it'll be interesting to see what the Steelers do. I agree with you as well that I think the Steelers are – they're in a good spot right now. But I think they're like a, you know, a receiver, a couple receivers away. Mm-hmm. You know, again, a couple pieces on the defense. I mean, I don't think their defense is that bad. But, you know, it'll be interesting because their schedule coming up really tests who they are, because they have the Eagles, the Chiefs at some point, I think on Christmas, I'm missing somebody, the Ravens, I think, again, the Bengals, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So this will be a very interesting test to the rest of the season to see who they are and how they'll compete in the playoffs. So
yeah, and it also poses a question on how healthy George Pickens can be. Because obviously he missed the game last week with a hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. And it poses the question, if he could stay healthy, I mean, he's obviously wide receiver one, but can he kind of play smarter instead of like so aggressive where either he just doesn't run for the ball and just lets it sail over his head, or fighting people when it comes down to people getting interceptions, doing WWE moves, body slams off the top rope. But I think it really depends on like how healthy this team can stay. Because I mean, injuries obviously are going to happen. Like as a Lions fan, I know what injuries are like this year. So injuries will play a factor, but I think you have to keep these star players healthy to especially compete in the AFC, even in the NFC when it comes down to like Green Bay, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Detroit. Like those are really the top four teams realistically in the NFC. So I think it really depends on how healthy these players can stay. Because, I mean, you need like a player like TJ Watt, you need George Pickens. You need those key players, even like Cameron Hayward. You need those guys to stay healthy. And they've been able to realistically all year. But now seeing George Pickens obviously missing last game, that poses a big question in terms of their offense.
Yeah. And I just want to make one final note on this game because I thought it was funny because I saw this come up. Shout out Kadarius Toney. The dude is a legend. I mean, we all know him as the Chiefs receiver dropping balls, but he got signed to this Browns team. Four plays in, he gets a 15-yard penalty because he threw the football at Ben Skowronek on the Steelers special teams. I don't know what happened. I think it was like a tackle or something. And then right after, he muffs a punt, drops it, and Ben Skowronek picks it up, dude. That was the funniest thing. He got cut today. So no shocker there. Shout out Kadarius Toney, legend of the NFL.
Hall of Famer. Future Hall of Famer.
But yeah, on to another game that turnover machines. We got our boy Kirk Cousins. I mean, dude threw another two bad interceptions. I'm just scratching my head. I'm just like, that. Those are awful picks. It'd be one thing if it's like, you know, a tight throw, tip. It's like Kirk is looking right at defenders. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but he is zero touchdowns, eight interceptions in his last four games.
I was just about to mention that. But, I mean, you see, like, Byron Murphy getting a one-handed interception. I mean, they're doing white chicks dances in the end zone on interceptions. Like, what is – I think it poses the same question that you asked last week. Do you start Michael Penix? And I think at this point you have to, you need to.
Yeah.
Because you cannot, by having two interceptions per game out of your quarterback that you just this offseason paid a buttload of money. I'm speaking devil's advocate because I feel like I'm talking about Dak Prescott again. I always have to throw shade at the Cowboys every single episode. If you guys don't know me, I have to. But I think it poses the question now, like, you have Kirk Cousins for 4 years, right? Really, two, three of those years are guaranteed. I don't know if all four are really quote-unquote guaranteed, but – I think it poses the question now, when do you go to Michael Penix? Because Michael Penix is a good quarterback, right? He was really good in college. We haven't seen him in the NFL. I don't know if he played in the preseason. I didn't really watch the Falcons preseason games. But when do we see Michael Penix come in? Because you're looking at the Falcons, right? And they were in the lead of their division for a while. And now, obviously, Tampa Bay is coming up. Carolina's been playing teams tough. Atlanta is like that wild card team, I'd say, where it's like you can have a really good game and then have a stretch of like three bad games and then have a really good game again and then just lose out.
Yeah.
And I know, especially for us, it sucked that he did it against Minnesota. Because I know both of us really needed Minnesota to lose this game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's time for Michael Penix to suit up and start for the Falcons. Because I think Kirk Cousins, obviously coming off an injury of the magnitude that he did last year, is a tough injury to come back from. But he's washed. He is so washed. I think he was great for Washington his first couple of years, great for Minnesota his first couple of years with them. And then pretty much ever since, I want to say the year they won the division, went like 13-4 or something like that. I think he hasn't been the same.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Penix is a great option. I mean, right now they play two games coming up, which both teams are tanking, the Giants and the Raiders. Then they play the Commanders, so I can see Kirk going back there. But it's like, you know, you're 6-7. The Saints are right behind you at 5-8. So, I mean, like, you're kind of messing the situation up yourself. And Kirk is not helping you. Yeah. So it really is an interesting situation they're in because, like, last year, I mean – they had all these issues, just needed a quarterback. But also, too, their defense is not helping. I mean, I don't know what I'm watching. when I'm watching that Falcons defense, you know, they signed Jesse Bates, you know, they have AJ Terrell, but it's like, I'm watching Sam Darnold underthrow a football and it gets caught by Jordan Addison for a touchdown.
Falcons corner fall on his face and let walk into the end zone.
No, literally. Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It was like, what is that? You know, how do you let that happen? I mean, I don't understand it. So, I mean, if you have defense like that, I can understand why they're in the situation they're in. But it's not like Hurts helping either when he's not throwing touchdowns. So, I mean, they're in a really bad situation.
And it's not like they're getting Bijan involved either. He really hasn't been involved, really. And it's like you're relying on the pass game when your pass game is really weak. I mean, you have great receivers. You have Drake London. I mean, you have Kyle Pitts at tight end. He's like, say like top of the league, but he's like right there in terms of like maybe top 10 tight ends. And then you mentioned Darnell Mooney. You have really good wide receivers, and you have a quarterback that can't throw to them.
Yeah. I mean, I want to shout out on the flip side. Unfortunately, our boy Sam Darnold cooked up another good game, 5 touchdowns. Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson both had great games. It's an incredible performance. Hands down, you got to give it to him. As much as we don't want to, he did play well.
Even Jalen Naylor came in and kind of put up decent numbers.
So, I mean, will this performance continue for Sam Darnold? I'd like to see, because he does have some tough divisional games still left. We'll have to see what the Vikings do in the playoffs, and we'll have to see how Sam Darnold kind of finds him. I mean, if he finds himself or if he falls off again. So we'll see. Going into the next game, Panthers, Eagles. I mean, this one was, you know, it's just another game where it's like the Browns Steelers were like, okay, the Eagles are going to win. I thought personally the Eagles were going to dominate this game, and they did not. They came out really slow in the first half. But yet again, as you said, the Panthers have been playing well. Even though they're losing, it's not the end goal. But they're still close with these teams, like one-score games.
Yeah, and it doesn't help Philadelphia that I think Hurts only had, 127 yards passing. Or something around that ballpark. Their offense was really struggling against Carolina. And that's something I like to see as a Lions fan, because like Lions and Eagles are neck and neck in terms of that first seed in the NFC. With Philadelphia, I believe, now 11-2 and Detroit being 12-1. I really was hoping Carolina pulled it out once I started seeing the score. It's just we need to see what Philadelphia starts doing. I saw an argument between Devonta Smith and AJ Brown on the sideline. So it's not looking good morale-wise. In terms of like that game specifically. Now, I want to pose this question to you. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and we saw a common trend, right? Where we were like, it looks like with this common trend, they're going to lose the NFC Championship game. With them barely beating Carolina, do we see, if they fall short in the playoffs this year, that potential Nick Sirianni seat becomes hot?
I think it kind of comes down to how they finish out the year. As I said, they got the Steelers. I got to see who else they have on their schedule. But it depends how they finish out their schedule. If they finish out strong, they win by a couple scores. I mean, depending on who they're playing, I think that matters. I don't think this one game is necessarily going to determine how they do in the playoffs. But obviously it's like, well, the Eagles are on like a 9-game win streak right now. And if they go in the playoffs and lose, get upset first round, it's like, what was all that for? You know? So, I mean, there is that question where there's pressure on teams to perform a certain way. But this certainly did not determine, you know, how they're going to do in the playoffs. It was more so just a surprise for me again, just how either good Carolina's playing or how poorly the Eagles are playing. So
yeah, and like Carolina has been on a stretch. I mean, they barely lost Kansas City. They're playing teams tough, which I like to see. I mean, Bryce Young was benched during the year, came back, and has been playing solid. So we'll have to see what both these teams really do going forward.
Yeah.
But I think the future seems bright for Bryce Young specifically now.
Yeah. Speaking of teams playing well, we got to talk about the NFC West over there. It's kind of getting hot because Seattle, Arizona, good matchup. Seattle's playing some good ball lately, and I honestly have not really been paying attention until this week. As they are sitting at 8-5 in first place now with a 30-18 win over the Cardinals. Their defense is playing exceptionally well. They've been holding their opponents in their last three games to under 20 points. Two interceptions against Murray, which, you know, they're questionable interceptions. But, you know, the Cardinals started off hot in this game with a 41-yard touchdown to Michael Wilson, and they went up 7-0. And I was like, oh, here we go again. The Cardinals are coming out hot. Seattle found a way to bounce back, and they ended up winning this game. So, I mean, it's really interesting over there in the NFC West.
Yeah, and I don't think – I'm going back to, like, what we thought going into this season. I don't think that we were realizing that the NFC North and the NFC West were going to be this close in terms of competition within their divisions. And this game, Seahawks versus Cardinals, really is a testament to that, because obviously you mentioned Cardinals came out hot to start, and then Seahawks, I think it's really a testament to how far their defense has come. Like you mentioned, their defense played really well. Because at the beginning of the year, they were really carried by their offense to start. And now this defense is starting to pick it up. And I think this, I'm saying it right now, calling it right now, call it December 10th. We're recording this. Seattle is the sleeper team in the playoffs.
We'll have to see. They do play the Packers next week, so that'll be an interesting test.
I could see them. I'm not saying NFC Championship, Super Bowl type thing. I could see them making it past the wild card and playing close in the divisional. But I think it could be a situation where you see the Seahawks starting to pick it up.
Yeah, and I think the Seahawks' momentum all comes from Geno Smith. How well is he? He's been playing exceptionally well in his last three games. He's had like over a 90. I know in this Cardinals game, he's had 110 passer rating. So he's playing exceptionally well. So it kind of cooks up the NFC West now, because the Rams, which we'll talk about later, are in second place. The Niners are in third place. And I think the Cardinals are, they've unfortunately hit that rock, their ceiling, and they're kind of fallen and they're out of it now. But, you know, now we can transition and go into the next game, which I kind of just mentioned in the NFC West, is the Bears and Niners. I don't know what you say. Fan. I mean, that was just his poor effort, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the score at one point. It was 24-0. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I was originally going to watch that game, like Bears versus 49ers, because – Mike and I were talking, okay, what game are we going to watch? Because our teams are not playing on Sunday. I was like, I might watch the Bills game, right? Bills versus Rams. He's like, I'm watching the Bears. And I was like, okay, let me like kind of tune in. I was like, okay, 24-0. Okay, let me find the Buffalo game again. So, I mean, it's I'm trying to find words for the Bears. I mean, obviously they just fired Eberflus, but we've been saying Eberflus is the reason why you guys have been losing, like leaving games with timeouts, bad coaching calls. And then you go out against San Fran and they have injuries galore and you get smoked.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, it was just an embarrassment. I mean, as you said, they went up 20, San Francisco went up 24-0 fast at half. Bears could not stop George Kittle. Jalen Johnson's getting beat by Debo. They couldn't stop, what's his name? Garendo. That's his name, yeah, Isaac Garendo. Yeah, he had that nice almost touchdown down to the one. But yeah, the Bears, you can't be upset with your coach and then, you know, want him fired. And they did get fired. And then come out with this performance. I mean, it was just embarrassing. I think the Bears had, was it like 3 yards of offense? Or Caleb Williams passing or something like that? It was something crazy.
At that point, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
George Kittle at that time had like 110 yards at that time.
Yeah.
And the Bears offense had 3 yards total.
Yeah.
Passing and running.
Caleb Williams got sacked this game 7 times. Part of that is he's holding onto the ball too long. Some of it is just
the offensive line.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a good bounce back win for the Niners because they've been getting slammed as well. But then this kind of just set another level for the Bears that they're getting slammed. So they're out of the playoffs, the Bears. But the Niners, on the other hand, are still competing, and they do have some tough opponents to finish out their schedule with Miami, the Lions, and the Cardinals. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and how their season finishes out. But going into the most exciting game of this week, Nick, we both know what game that was. We were talking about it all day long. The Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Tennessee Titans.
Wait, what?
What
game were we talking about?
The most exciting game of the week.
Baseball game?
Yeah. Guys, Jacksonville wins that game 10-6. We're not covering that. That was an absolute joke. So, Bills-Rams, we'll talk about a more exciting game. I mean, this game was awesome.
Yes.
This game was awesome. I'll let you start it off, Nick.
I'll start with saying hell of a game. Hell of a game. Highest scoring game in the NFL this season in terms of total points. Now, I think even with this game, Josh Allen played insane. He attributed to 5 touchdowns, I want to say, whether it was rushing or passing, and like over 300 yards. But talk about Puka Nacua.
Yep.
I mean, this guy went lights out. He was obviously 162 yards, one receiving touchdown, and obviously the game-winning rushing touchdown. Because it was a jet sweep. And, I mean, you got to think about it this way, right? The NFC West is so competitive that even with this Rams team, who have been starting to catch fire, and obviously just beat the Bills, who, in my opinion, were the best team of the AFC by far, I think it's a real testament to this team's resilience, because at the beginning of the year, we were like, we don't know what this team's going to look like. Even when Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua come back, because obviously they were injured. But, I mean, you had the run game going off. Stafford was playing lights out. Cooper Kupp had that huge touchdown reception. I think it was the third quarter that he did it. And then, obviously, Puka Nacua, huge game. But on the flip side, I mean, you have no Keon Coleman, which we don't know when he's returning. But Josh Allen, I mean, are we starting to think that this is starting to solidify his MVP?
Man, I mean, yeah, it's pretty hard to, it's pretty hard to say he's not. I mean, he really deserves it after this. I think I was going to say Saquon, but after this game, I kind of don't want it to go to a running back. I really think Josh Allen has solidified himself. Even with the, okay, I'm not saying his weapons are bad because Keon Coleman's a great development in progress. Khalil Shakir, he's coming into a nice piece. And the tight ends are coming into also good pieces. Kincaid and Dawson Knox, I mean, he's okay. But they got some good pieces over there in Buffalo. But Josh Allen, it all starts with him and what he's able to do. I mean, I think that Josh Allen is, you know, should win the MVP hands down after a game like this.
Yeah, and I mean, it hurts me because I was holding on for Jared Goff to win an MVP. But I mean, Josh Allen, there's just no question at that point. And I mean, props to him so far this season. We'll see how he continues to do it because I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. I do see the Buffalo Bills as a Super Bowl team. I kept saying, hopefully it's Lions versus Buffalo, but I mean, hopefully we see Josh Allen come out and hopefully win the MVP. But moving on to the next game, Chargers versus Chiefs, AFC West matchup. And this was where Kansas City now won the division. It was just a back and forth game. I mean, Herbert, 213 yards, one touchdown. The Chargers, they have to score more than 17 points. They have to.
Yeah.
And I could say all day, I think the refs gave the Chiefs the win because you had obviously that right tackle. I don't know his name, number 74. He likes to false start like pretty much every single play. And then obviously the doink to win it. Now, do we see this as a downfall for the Chiefs having to win all these close games?
No, I don't see it as a downfall, but I see it as they're inverted. They're not this offensive dominant team anymore. They're more so a defensive dominating team. Until pieces like Rashid Rice, Xavier Worthy can develop, I mean, maybe we see them come into the offensive powerhouse again, but they're not that right now. Mahomes is having a down year because he's given, you know, situations, pieces that he's having to work with, which aren't the greatest. And that all comes from, you know, cap space, and that all comes from contracts. So, you know, you got to pay these guys. And so, you know, when that eventually, when that time happens, when you can't go and get a guy in free agency, or, you know, you can't pay a guy, extend a guy. So this is where the Chiefs are at. And, you know, we'll see how long they can kind of go on this road, but I don't think it's very long.
Yeah. I mean, I can 100% agree. I think, especially against some of these other AFC teams like Buffalo and Baltimore, they are going to have to start picking it up on offense. They can't always rely on their defense. I mean, Josh Allen can easily tear this team apart. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, like those sort of guys can easily do that. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube. Follow us on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Twitter. Our Twitter is at Gridiron Pod NFL, and just search up Gridiron Podcast on Spotify and Amazon Music. We come out with new episodes every single Thursday with new topics about the NFL. And stay tuned. We have a couple of really good ideas coming up and going into the playoffs and off-season ideas, potential NFC North episode with me, a Lions fan, Mike, a Packers fan, getting a Vikings fan and getting a Bears fan and just talking some smack to each other, just having fun with it.
Yeah.
So hopefully stay tuned to that. And yeah, new episodes coming out every Thursday. We'll be posting more shorts here and there coming up. So yeah, just stay tuned to those and we'll see you guys next week on episode 18 of the Gridiron Podcast.